for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday evening, December the 25th, 2000. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the first service of the meetings.
Y'all here to do warfare, right? How many of you came here to win? How many of you know you never engage in battle without the intent to win? Y'all are full of turkey. I said, you never engage in battle without the intent to win. There's a familiar passage of Scripture in the Bible that we're going to turn to in just a little bit. I'm going to speak on the subject of with the intent to kill. You never engage in spiritual warfare with the intent to lose. If you engage half-heartedly, you're going to get whooped. That sudden lingo for get your tail whipped. And the devil knows whether you're serious or not. Sunday morning, I was preparing to minister for my wife in the church that she pastors now. And so I had to make a quick stop at the grocery store. And don't you know, I ran across one of my old amigos. Old beer drinking, slobbering, dirty joking, telling old comrade. Now, I hadn't seen him in at least 20 years. Now, he's holding an 8-pack in his hands. And I am as fired up. Because I am primed up, fired up, pumped up. I'm ready to go be in service with the Lord and have a good time. I love to enjoy myself in the presence of God. And so we came face to face. And he looked at me and said, "Hey, my old friend, how you doing?" I thought to myself under my breath, "You're not my friend. But you're a potential candidate for the kingdom of God." And I conversed with him for a few moments, and he was just reminiscing about the past. And I said, "Isn't life wonderful?" He said, "Do you still drink?" I said, "Absolutely. More so now." I said, "No, man, I'm even addicted to this stuff." And he said, "But I don't see anything in your hands." I said, "You won't. Because I'm drinking from another source."
Amen.
He said, "Well, what you been doing?" "It's been at least 20 years. I said, "I'm preaching the gospel all over the country."
Hallelujah.
Now, if you may ask the question tonight, can anything good come out of the Henderson Swamp of Louisiana? And the answer should be yes. Can I get a yes?
Yes.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I wish I had a witness to tune this place tonight. Can I get a real amen in this place tonight?
Amen.
Now, when you're going to engage in warfare, you've got to mean business.
Amen.
How many of you ever set a little mousetrap? That's the meanest things on the tip of your finger if you don't set it right. That little old mousetrap will either get you to praise the Lord or praise the devil.
God knows what's in your heart.
You know what I'm talking about. Because if it didn't come out to where it magnified and glorified God, you are praising the devil. Because you allowed your flesh to manifest and tell you how you felt. But how many of you got real smart since you've been following Jesus and found out that you're not dead yet? How many dead folks we got here tonight? I'm so glad we're not having a resurrection service. Everybody's alive, Mildred.
Uh-huh.
Now, how come you didn't want to preach tonight? You could have preached this message tonight.
You bet.
Now, here I was believing God to heal my eyes, and he gave me a new pair of glasses. Open your Bible if you brought it. I just want to make sure y'all was with me. I don't know why I bother to bring notes. I never get to use them much. Do you know there's such a thing as premeditated murder?
Absolutely.
I got one sister that agreed with me.
The Old Testament, a man wanted to kill, and he didn't. And God counted it and said he did kill
him. Here's a real simple definition of premeditated murder. You got to give me a break. I'm trying to learn these glasses. To show the intent to commit an act. It reveals the intents of your heart. You watch all these murders and shows and TVs and the husband killing wives and vice versa. And the guy gets real smart. He says, sir, what you have done is premeditated murder. I want you to know tonight as a Christian, you have a right to commit premeditated murder when it comes to the devil. You always should be ready to act and to commit that which you have started. Jesus declared in Paul's ear in the church at Philippi, he said, being confident of this very thing, he that had begun a good work in you shall accomplish it until the day of Jesus Christ. How many of you know that when the Lord starts something, he finishes? How many of you have been guilty here tonight of a time or two in your life of starting something but never finishing it? Can I get an amen? Don't put your hand down. I know you're guilty. We can all do this. I believe, I might have to preach to you like a pastor instead of a prophet tonight. I believe we are at the brink of tearing down strongholds that we have never torn down before.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
My heart was compelled tonight and moved when I thought about Frank Hammond, Frank Marzullo, some of these old generals. Brother Parrish, been preaching in deliverance for a long time. Some of them have gone on to be with the Lord. Folks, I do a lot of traveling. 99.9% of the churches I go to couldn't even cast the devil off their sore toe. Of course, you know, they won't invite me to come preach about devils. But God is a God of wisdom. And Brother Glenn, you need to remind me before I leave. I've got 3 or 4 churches that I preached in recently want to get on the mailing list because they're opening themselves up to deliverance. Now, wisdom is the key to get in these places, and you don't go in with bulldog tenacity or like a bull in a china closet, or they will give you the left foot of fellowship. There is a true deliverance message, just like the true prophetic message that's being birthed, but it's coming from the throne room. Thank God for the old generals. The church is getting herself ready in place where she will learn how to discern. We've tried shotgun methods, list of demons. We've tried everything under the sun that was known to us and had some success. Thank God for some of the stuff. But we're coming into a place where we're fine-tuning and beginning to hear Him. I have more success in my personal ministry in ministering to people in deliverance than I did 25 years ago. Did I get smarter? No. Did I need another degree? No. I just needed to get fine-tuned with Him. We will notice in this passage of Scripture that there's a gentleman in the Bible there named Shammah. Now, the men that were before him were part of David's mighty army in 2 Samuel 23. Did marvelous things. Killed hundreds of soldiers barehanded. Wonderful exploits for the Lord. And they were briefly mentioned. But this little guy, Shammah, brought some things to my mind. That he was instructed by David with David's last words or recorded in Scripture. And I'm not going to take time to go through every verse tonight like I generally do. But Shammah was assigned a little patch of lentils. And you can argue whether it's barley or peas. If you know anything about Jewish history, it was probably barley. It was their main grain. And he was assigned that little patch to protect. Because if you understand warfare. Let me give it to you in a different term. Guerrilla. How many of you ever heard of guerrilla warfare? Something the church has not been exposed to much. In Vietnam, after 12 months, 24 hours, 15 minutes and 32 seconds, I learned as a young man, 20 years of age, 19 when I went in, 21 when I got out, what guerrilla warfare was all about. And if you apply the spiritual aspect of guerrilla warfare, you will find that when you're engaged in guerrilla warfare, you do not know who your enemy is. Wave at me if you're still here. And while meditating on that, during a leadership class one time, the Lord said, "Son, there are three snakes you need to be aware of." Now, in South Louisiana, we have a few bad snakes. Unfortunately, we have some in the church. You can be deceived and not know it. First snake is the one that you see, and you have nothing in your hands to kill him with. First the natural, then the spiritual. Then the next snake you see is the one that pops his head out of the bush, then he hides from you. But the worst of the three is the one that you never see, because you never know how he's going to attack you. But there's one greater than he. The greater one lives in you, and he lives in me tonight. And he is more than willing to show us how to destroy the enemies in our lives. But we must engage in spiritual warfare with the intent to kill. Are you ready tonight?
Amen.
Faith is an element produced by the heart and acted upon with the God kind of faith. How many of you know in charismatic churches we have learned methods of how to get our faith operating and how to receive things from God? But real faith is birth by the Holy Ghost. Are you with me so far? The God kind of faith is a supernatural endowment of God's Spirit. Shammah had this kind of spirit. I wrote this down so I could give it to you this way. What God imparted to David, he gave to all his mighty men. We are living in a time frame where importation is vital. Because when we look around us, the old heroes of faith, the old generals of deliverance, are slowly slipping into eternity. And according to Isaiah 42, Isaiah prophesied, "Where are my deliverers?" I ask you tonight, are you willing to be a deliverer for God? Then you're going to have to come into this with the intent to kill. You can't pussyfoot with the devil. You can't play his games. When you engage in battle, it was one thing in mind. You're going in to win and to take back what the devil stole from you. Can I get a witness? The Holy Ghost gave it to me this way. Mentoring is priceless, while stupidity is costly. Are y'all awake? Are y'all frozen? Mentoring is priceless. Think about it. Stupidity is costly. Mentoring is not controlling, but releasing into others. I have church services sometimes, Brother Glenn. The only thing God will have me do is import and release. Import and release. Import and release into people. And people are getting changed. Marvelously changed. Some of them are really getting saved. The reason I say that, and I'm not making light, I've pastored churches for 15 years. I have a heart for pastors. But there's no difference in jailhouse salvation and church house salvation. Folks are not radically being changed. And I wonder why. Have you ever wondered why? Through the years, you know how many folks have come through this building? Are you saying, preacher, that you're not for deliverance? Oh, no. I'm absolutely for deliverance. Because of deliverance, I'm still alive.
Amen.
But I'm after something greater than the deliverance we have learned. And that's to have an encounter with God. I rather have 5 seconds with God in His presence than give you 40 sermons of what I think is the greatest sermons I've ever preached. Because in the presence of God, the devil cannot be there.
Amen.
And in the presence of God, we receive impartations from His Spirit. We receive healing. I've seen people get delivered out of drugs, laying on the floor, just in the presence of God. And spent 15, 20 hours casting out demons with them, never got them completely free. The presence of God touched them. Boom.
Amen.
So like the old Proverbs, we have to have a just balance. Same problem throughout the United States. Church hang on doctrines and more doctrines instead of allowing the Holy Ghost to come and take over their services. You know, it's a marvelous thing when you let the Holy Ghost have His way. Hello? The best sermon I ever preached, Brother Glenn, was I stood behind a podium and was dumbfounded, couldn't open my mouth. People get slain in the spirit. Manifestations, demons came out. People got healed of cancer, tumors dissolved. And I stood there and going, now if that don't humble you, nothing will. Especially if you've been trained by some of the greatest preachers in the world. Teach you all about the preaching and concepts of preaching and teaching. Now, David could talk until he was blue in the face, and he could impart all that he could impart, but that had to arise the spirit of the warrior inside of Shammah. When it comes to be your time, what are you going to do? When it's your day, what are you going to do? When it's your moment, what are you going to do? Every moment we're in the presence of God, for being changed. Let's read. It's warm in here. I'm going to skip over a few. Let's begin in Samuel's 23, 2 Samuel. We can generally remember some of the precious words of some of the great men in our country, some of our great presidents. And by the way, just for so you can lighten up, you know, cloning has gotten to be a very big, big thing now in our country. And they tried cloning a 101 Dalmatian, came out with 102. But they called it back because they wanted to have a recount. Over in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Could I say something? Did you know that Bush has appointed John Ashcraft to be Attorney General, who's a spirit-filled man? Missouri. I tell you,
can anything good come out of Missouri? Absolutely. Hallelujah. We're just family tonight. I'm not going to get real radical with you. Listen here. Verse 1 says, now these be the last words of David. David was a mighty man, king of Israel, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said. Now, wouldn't you like somebody to remember you? Like that. The Spirit of the Lord, notice carefully. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my
tongue.
Say that loud.
Tongue.
Would to God we will get to a place where the Spirit of the Lord will be so endowed in us. That we, when we say, thus saith the Lord, it's not thus saith the soul, and it's not thus saith the flesh, but it will be thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
The God of Israel, the Rock of Israel, spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be, say it out loud,
just.
How many prophets have said in the word, the just shall live by faith? But one prophet said, the just shall live by his faith. The same prophet that spoke of the vision, write the vision down. See, God's not interested in cloning us. We need to come into our own personalities in Christ. David trained his men, and he trained them well because he was a mighty warrior. Do you remember in the New Testament when this guy was trying to cast out a devil by somebody's name other than Jesus?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Jesus, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know.
And Ronnie, I know.
Who are you?
And Mildred, I know.
But who are you?
Who the heck are you? You see, my ability to fight the good fight of faith may not be like yours. But your ability is just as good as mine. There's no distinction among us, brethren. And we're not in competition.
That's right.
These mighty men of David went before Sheba, but Sheba didn't rise up and say, well, Dodo did, and this one did, and that one did, but what am I going to do? He didn't say that. Verse 7 said, but the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite, and sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Now, that's a pretty big job. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Now, how'd you like to have somebody name you that? Of course, if you study these men's names, they're very symbolic, which I'm not going to get into tonight. And one of the three mighty men with David, and when they had defiled the Philistines that were gathered, listen, if you write in your Bible, gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. And I wonder tonight, where are the men of God that will begin to wear that breeches upright and get off of that blessed assurance and begin to stand up and say, this is my house, this is my kingdom, this is my God, this is my gospel, and I defile the devil from taking it back.
Amen.
Now, most of them go, now, honey, we don't want to make the devil mad. Of course, we all know if it was possible, we would manhandle the devil, but it's not possible. We must fight with spirit weapons. Words. I'm about to say words.
Words.
I believe the first thing that we need to reckon with the intent to kill, is to excel with passion. What drives you? What compels you to do what you do? You don't have good sense, Mildred, to drive all the way from Tennessee in icy weather to come to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp to sit here and begin to cast a bunch of dust. It just don't make sense. But there's a passion.
Yes, there is.
After I talked to Papa Glenn, he said the weather was beautiful over here. My wife says, honey, what are you going to do? I said, there's only but one thing to do. I must be there. She says, when's the last time you drove in ice? I said, 1966. In an army vehicle in Seattle, Washington. Don't ask me how many times I got off the road. Ask me how many times I was able to maintain it and stay on the road. Passion to learn. Passion to fight. Passion to live. Passion to win. Passion to conquer. Passion will take us places we have never been before. And take us to places we don't want to go. How many of you have ever been in an ER room? If you have a feather belly, you can't handle it. Unfortunately, I had no say-so about it in Vietnam when I saw young men with their guts ripped out, have their heads blown off and limbs moved, removed from them and zipped up in plastic bags. My heart was moved with passion and more compassion, for they had lost their lives. And here I was trying to still secure my faith in God and talk to God on the sandbag and tell Him that I loved Him. Little Catholic boy, and folks laughed, but I knew how to pray the Our Father. But the problem was not because I could pray a traditional prayer, because I prayed it with my intention of my heart. And I saw the hand of God move, and He spared me. And one day his hands came down to me. If ever you come to Lafayette, Louisiana, I'm going to tell you something that happened to me by the Holy Ghost that will shake your bush. Here I am, fresh out of Bible college, fit to be tied. I'm an accident looking for a place to happen. I think I have all the faith and the zeal to conquer the world. I'm sitting in my living room and I said, God, I have preached myself. I don't know anything else. I've read the Bible over and over. I don't know. I can't find another sermon. I don't know what to say anymore. I can't even get into the Word anymore. What's the problem? And I had a visitation from God. Now, don't get real holy on me. Two hens came through the ceiling and stood before me, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, stand up and look into my hands. There is your ministry. Well, had nothing in there said that I was supposed to be a pastor. But here I was, fresh out of Bible school. Thought, man, I had me some notches in my belt. I learned how to cast out devils through Frank and Ida Hammond and other men that would come to Lafayette. We had special seminars. I was like the fastest gun in town. If a devil moved, I got him. And then they began to put us on the newspaper. But we were protecting our little parts of land, Brother Glenn. The Baptists came against us. The Pentecostals came against us. The Assemblies came against us. But they were all sending their people for counsel. And they put us on the town talk. And in 6 months' time, we grew from 35 to 130 people. And then the pastor started calling and wanted to know, were there people in our church? And I said, they are, and they are free. And you are welcome to come. So I started inviting the pastors to come over for fellowship. But they were not interested in learning about deliverance. But I had this passion, and I had this vision that kept driving me. We moved on after a few years out of that town into another place. But those two hands stayed with me. And I'm not an artist, so I sketched it out the best way I could. 5 years later, we started a new work. And this little woman sitting in our congregation was an artist. And I'll never forget her little face. She glowed like a bulb. Sitting on the second row, and she went, oh, my God. And she kept staring. I thought, like my one-year-old little granddaughter, she goes, see how it works. And I thought, well, I didn't feel nothing, David. I didn't feel anything special. Didn't have any goosebumps. She came to me weeping after service. She says, I need to speak to you. She said, God has given me a vision. And I said, well, wonderful. Without a vision, we perish, you know. I could quote the Bible, and just that's what you needed to hear, right? Good counsel. She said, no, it's more than that. She said, God has showed me the vision of the ministry that you're involved in and going to be involved in. And see, in the hands of God, what I didn't tell you, it was three progressions. And so she took her a whole year. She painted this about 5 or 6 high, 7 or 8 foot wide mural on canvas, hand painted. She painted these two hands, Brother Glenn, coming out of the clouds in the heavens, and a flaming sword coming down the middle, and the river of life coming in between with the trees on each side, and the holy city, heavenly Jerusalem, rising from behind it. Now, I'm not an artist, so I did this the best I could. When she did, we had a special presentation that day and videoed it. And I took my little picture out and I showed it to her. Half of her family got saved. Her mother had received a revelation. She was still dangling in the Catholic Church, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, wanting to serve God and still trapped. And God, by the Spirit, And this thing drove her, not for 1 year, but for years. And because of that vision that God imparted in her, just confirming what he had already showed me, it changed her life radically. What are you saying? We must excel in the passion that God gives us. God is not in the cloning business.
Amen.
You don't have to cast out devils like Mildred. Just use the right name. Don't use in the name of Mildred. They'll send you back to Louisiana. The spirit of Shammah was the spirit of a warrior. Did you know that your king had the spirit of a warrior in him? Do you know when Jesus, I had a preacher tell me, he said, theoretically and hermeneutically, Jesus did not cast out devils. I said, you're a fool. I said, read the Bible. Well, I have this translation. I said, I don't care if you have one that says no translation. If it's the written word of God, read it. And tell me who the demoniac was that Jesus, the one that they couldn't cast out in a 4-day seminar. Hello. Why was Jesus so successful? He had passion. He had a mandate just like you, just like me. But he could excel. Simply defined, a supernatural ability to conquer all outside forces. Now tell me, folks, in the last month or the last day, how many of you have not had any kind of weird thoughts go through your mind? So all your thoughts were holy. Every one of them. You had no outside interference with what you were doing. No hindering powers come against you. I heard the brother said that he left Texas with some kind of infirmity or he'd been attacked. Last week, I was invited to go to an all-black church. I've had an intestinal infection for 4 days. I had not had sickness in my body for 2 years. And I woke up and all of a sudden I was... Yep. Imodium didn't help. Nothing helped. Coffee made me sick. Anything my wife cooked, I said, turn that off. The only thing I could halfway keep down was water. Now, I had started my exercise program, walking every morning and exercising, try to tone up. You know, traveling, you don't get to go to the gym and work out. And for 4 days, I either laid in bed or laid in my recliner. And I said, this is enough. And it stops here, and it's not going any further. And I thought about calling you, Mildred. I said, you got any discernment on intestinal virus or something? On the fifth day, I got up to go preach and drive 2.5 hours. I've got a cup of coffee in one hand, a pack of Imodium in the other hand, and I'm driving down the road, and I know every filling station before I get to Ala, Louisiana, 2.5 hours. And I got about halfway to the truck stop, and it was cold. And I got out of the truck, and the big old trucker was coming out there, and I started dancing around my truck. And I said, down! You stop! You get out! You loose me! You loose me! And I'm walking around my truck, and he says, mister, you all right? I said, I'll be fine. Thank you. And I kept notifying the devil, you're not crossing the bloodline. You're not crossing the bloodline. You get off my property. You get off my part of your land. You get off of me in the name of Jesus. And of course, if you're familiar with black church, when you walk in, you're not a pastor, you're not a prophet, you're not a preacher, evangelist, you're an apostle. So the apostle shows up. I'm fit to be tied, Brother Glenn. I'd rather be in bed under my sheet. I feel worse than a worm. I'm probably pale. I'm white enough, I was probably pale. And she says, now we're going to have the apostle to come. And when I got up, the anointing of God hit me. Boom, I went, hey, hallelujah. We're going to have a great time in church today. And I began to preach. And that was half the battle. They carried me to their home and gave me a plate, looked this big, and humped. with soul food. And I loved it. Rice and gravy. All this goody stuff. Sweet yams. Smothered cabbage. Corn bread. Red beans and... Are you hungry? Red beans and rice. Dear God! I hadn't eaten in 4 days. And I couldn't even make a dent. But she excused me and told me she understood. And then the preacher looked at me and says, "You've been feeling poorly?" I said, "Well, I was feeling poorly, but I'm feeling pretty good right now." And he looked at me and says, "You don't have a right being there. Get out."
Amen.
Man, we had church. I had finally found someone who wasn't just sitting on the premises. You tell folks you're going through something, they just walk by, you say, "Well, be blessed." You okay now, you all right. If I tell you that, I want you to grab a hold of me and pray for me. I need some help. I ought to have the same freedom to come to you when I have this passion come and told you that I can pray for you. Y'all are getting real holy tonight. Here we go. To excel with passion, first of all, you have passion to stand. You have to be able to take your stand, folks. The outward is always demanding, but the inward is always motivational. You know, you can whip the devil every time if you listen to those inward motivations.
Right.
Instead of trying to remember what demon came in the last time with this. Do it with this. Inward motivation. Be inspired by the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, Mildred, I know what I'm talking about. We are coming into another realm of deliverance, and it's not what we used to do.
Amen.
Of course, you know, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. Passion to kill. In the midst of your situation, strike first. Now, here's an old thing Grandpa taught me. Now, if you get in trouble... You remember that I told you Grandpa taught me this. I weighed 110 pounds in high school. I've come a long way. What you laughing at? And Grandpa told me, now, when that boy comes this afternoon and you put your dukes up with him, you remember what I told you. I said, "What's that, Grandpa?" He said, "He outweighs you by 50 pounds. So what you do, you say, now, listen here, boy, you want to have some of me?" And then when he says yes, you said, "Okay." And you draw yourself a line in the dirt. And he said, "Now you look at that line. You step over that line and I'm going to whack you." And he said, when he looks down, he said, "You whack him." Why do you wait for the devil to strike first? Why don't you strike him first? Why don't you get him off your property? Get him off your kids. Get him off your finances. Get him off your church. Get him off your pastor. Get him off your pastor's wife. What are you waiting for? You're the church! Well, the pastor's hired to do that. No, he's not. Passion for your assignment. What if you were the only person? She is assigned to prepare food. Somebody else is assigned to guard the food. Shammah had an assignment by David. Now, here's when you find out if you have real passion. Or you just have a lust to try to be somebody that you ought not try to be. All these men had killed 800 men and so many thousand men. And here's little Shammah. Signed to a little, we'll call it a little bean patch. But all the men had left. And the Philistines came. And the Bible declares, when you read the verse, he stood in the midst of it. Let's read it. Look what he did. And the Bible says in verse 11, after him, after all these men, Shammah the son of Agi the Harite and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop, and where was a piece of ground full of lentils, wasn't half full, and the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground. God is looking for a few men and women that will stand in the gap. And defended it, and slew it, the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great. Somebody say, great. You mean over a bean patch? The Lord wrought a great passion will take you beyond your natural abilities. Secondly, with intent to win, with intent to war. You can't slap the devil on the side or slap his hand. You got to kill him. You have to have the mind of a warrior. 1966, Seattle, Washington, Fort Lewis, at the rifle range. I was always an excellent shot. I won blue ribbons and all this other stuff. Rah, rah, rah. But there were always those training under the same sergeants that always wanted to be something they couldn't be and always wanted to show off, but not willing to learn how to put on the mind of Christ or the mind of a warrior. And every one of those, when he came, because see, we practiced with blanks and then we practiced with live ammo. And when he came to the final night where we had to cross under the wires and drag ourselves hundreds of yards with live ammunition coming over you about this far on top of your head, you better not make a false move. It's not time to panic. It's time to go through. You keep focused and you keep your mind on the Lord and you go on, because you realize that you have now, because of your passion, you have engaged in war. And you can't leave the devil half-whipped. You've got to whip him. You've got to destroy your enemy at that particular point. If you panic, you could lose your head. In a split second, they were cut down by the machine guns. Fall right by your side. Are you going to panic? No, you keep going. Could be your best friend. You keep going. We sing this little song, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. And I wonder tonight, if it got down to that, how many of us would follow? We come to camps, we go to seminars to be trained, and we go home and say, oh, that was good. We put up all our information, put it on shelves, file it in our cabinet, and there it remains. Am I reaching anybody tonight?
Amen.
We're not having camp yet. This is just church Bible study night. Paul often admonished Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. Did he not? Jesus said we have to snatch it back. Proverbs 6 says if you catch a thief, you make him pay it back sevenfold.
Amen.
Oh, I don't believe in all that prosperity mess. We didn't stay broke. We need money to advance the kingdom. It is time for us to put our petty differences aside. I can receive from anybody. And I have a right to resist things that I don't believe. So I have a right to agree and disagree without being in strife. Can you? With intent to war, God gave me this little illustration that I want to help you with tonight. How many of you have at least one time have seen Rescue 911?
Yeah.
You've never seen that. It's a wonderful program.
I got Bible reading to do.
You read the Bible 24 hours a day, right?
All the time I'm asleep and not working.
Okay. Then you're excused. Rescue 911. Probably not as popular as it used to be. But when they came out, man, they were rescuing people in all type of dilemmas. And the Lord spoke to me one night, and I was watching, and He said, you're one of my commanders of Rescue 911. I said, I'm what? I couldn't get in a ravine with that swift water to save people. I can barely swim across the bay. He said, you rescue them out of the kingdom of darkness. Every chance you get. Now, I have a little different ministry of deliverance than some other folks. I like to minister in the Word and by the Spirit, sometimes prophetic. But I do know this. If you've been rescued, you have just become an armed force member of the Rescue 911 spiritual warfare unit.
Yep.
And when you rescue someone if I was to take Mildred's hand and rescue her tonight. After she's been rescued, she's supposed to go get somebody else's hand and rescue them. The scripture is very plain. He says, after you have been converted or comforted, go and comfort your brother. But we need wisdom. You know, the first time they proposed to me that I needed deliverance, I looked at that preacher in his eyes and I said, deliverance? What's that? And I'll never forget this young lady came out of his office. She was crying and laughing at the same time. I said, what happened to you? You know, you're just young in the Lord and you, I want some of that. She said, I just got delivered. I said, oh, is it good? She said, oh, you ought to try it. Make yourself an appointment. I was working for an office supply company, managing a warehouse. And so I was the honcho. I was the employee of the whole warehouse. And not only kept records, I made deliveries and loaded and unloaded trucks. I had a big title with small paycheck. So I told the preacher, I said, listen, can I come to see you tomorrow between 12 and 1?
Yeah.
He said, I'd love it. My calendar's open. I said, good. He said, what you need? I said, I need deliverance.
Some people say I need.
You're going to appreciate it, Brother Glenn. And this guy had sat under Frank and Ida Hammond's ministry for a few years. And the brother had him working with him in the church. And so after an hour, I'm looking at my watch. 2 hours had gone by. I said, man, I got to get back to the office. He is still casting demons out of me. I said, well, Cap, that's about it. I've got to go. I said, I think I have an hour off for lunch. I've got to get back. And I got her to walk out. He said, you have a gold scapular in your right front pocket. He said, and that's demonic. I said, how did you know? I had that. You see, it was a little precious. It was a little binding. My mother gave it to me and had the nuns spray over it while I was in Vietnam to keep me safe. Now, I thought, well, I don't wear it anymore anyway. And he began to address those spirits, Catholicism and all the things that were tied. And I walked out of that thing and I was high-stepping. And I got back to the office and all of a sudden there was an enlightenment in my spirit. And I went, dear God, that's deliverance? I know a whole slew of people that could use some of this. Of course, do I have to tell you what the next thing I tried? Casting devils out of people and I didn't even know what to do. But I had a passion. I wanted to see people get set free. And no matter how hard I tried to keep away from deliverance camps and deliverance churches, God always brought me back. Until men of integrity and wisdom began to come across my path. And I preached for some old boys that wouldn't even cast the devil out of you if their name was cast. And they loved the Lord with all their hearts. And I don't condemn them. But when they see the fruits come forth, they can... a little bit closer and a little bit closer. Some of these same brethren today will ask me, can you come do a little workshop? Can we have a little deliverance? Can we have a private session? And years ago, they wouldn't have given me the time of day. But folks, there's a new anointing coming forth. And God's going to give us the wisdom. And He's going to open the doors. I believe deliverance is going to come back to the churches in greater dimensions. But see, it won't be forced on them. It won't be spooky spiritual.
Amen.
I used to hear a preacher say, you want that doorknob. I just had that demon out. That doorknob. That demon's got a doorknob. Now, I tell you what, if I'd have known that the first time, he wouldn't have ministered deliverance to me. Thirdly, I know you used to get in a hurry. We're not going anywhere. With intent to be aggressive. That simply means what Shammah did. But he stood in the midst of the ground. That means take the initiative. Most of you have met my oldest daughter. We have recently been granted full custody of the grandbaby. We're now legal parents. At almost 55, I did not realize I was going to be raising another child. I'm thrilled. I feel after 54 years, I've learned something. And Hannah and I pray in tongues, and I'm teaching her how to lay hands. And I make her jump and pray in the Holy Ghost, and she goes, she's going to learn. You see, I believe in impartation, and I believe in teaching by example. And so what I'm doing, this is so deep. I don't know if y'all can handle it. I'm taking the initiative that's been handed to me. And I'm going to raise a little life for God. She's always already been prophesied through that she's going to be a prophetess for her generation. She has the mantle of Esther upon her. She's only 1 year old, and she already knows how to say da 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 da, and the beginning of tongue is hubbly 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 hubbly.
Glory.
Now I'm driving down the truck the other day, and she's sitting in the seat, and I was praying in tongue, and she did like this, and blee 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 blee, and I said, Lord, what is that baby doing? She said, she's trying to speak in tongues. I said, no. He said, She understands more of it than you do. That'll humble you. And she sees in the spirit. See, when she's sitting with me in my office and the anointing is present. Now, folks, I'm not trying to hype myself up. I'm a big somebody. Angels walk up and down my house all the time, and I tell folks, then they look at me like I'm stupid. Do I have stupid written on my forehead? And Hannah sits in her little chair, and she can sense when they come in the room. She's just going, she starts getting excited. And I feel this presence. I look at her and I go, we have opportunity to take the initiative for every soul that comes across our path to help them. Every soul is a potential candidate for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
I hope you enjoyed this tonight, because I'm a preacher. This is the quietest I have been here in a long time. I've usually given you a spit bat 3 or 4 times already. Talking to you out of my heart with intent to kill, be aggressive. Don't wait till you're half beat down to the ground before you stand up and demand your rights.
Amen.
When we get a full glimpse and a full view of who He is in us, you spend a whole lot less time trying to sweep the devil out your house. Now, one time I came to camp and I got home and somebody tried to break into my house. I used to be a builder by trade, and I put these metal doors up. And they didn't quite get all the way in, but they broke all my jam. Just didn't push it all the way in. I said, well, my God, it was just another tap and they would have gone in. And the Lord said, the angels was on the other side and wouldn't let them in. Now, folks, after a long week at camp, I drive up and find this scenario at my house. Two choices. I could let Dennis the Menace rise up in me, or the Holy Ghost. I got out in my car. I grabbed my tools. And I left everything in the car. My wife was unloading. And I began to fix my door. And while I was fixing my door, I was praying in tongues. And I was telling them, you get off my doorknob. You get off my threshold. You get off! And that's everything you tried to take from me. You put it back in the name of Jesus. 3 days later, the cop comes knocking on my door. He said, Reverend, we caught the little fella who tried to break into your house. Do you want to press charges against it? My flesh said, crucify him. I says, no. But you tell him this, officer. If he needs anything that I have, you tell him to come see me. And if I can, I'll give it to him. He doesn't have to break in to get it. Tell him also, if he's hungry, I'll feed him. 25 years ago, I'd have gone outside with my shotgun and gone looking for him, shot him, then asked questions later.
I was wild, folks.
That's compulsive reaction. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of peace in here tonight.
Amen.
So instead of being a reactor, take the initiative and says, that's enough, dummy. Out. And you know, since Brother Cameron was here last time, he said something that his father used to say. We've had him in our home quite a few times. That his mother would say, devil, you can't have my children. After much, our daughter surfaced last Saturday while my wife was conducting a deliverance workshop in our church. She showed up for the deliverance workshop on a Saturday. She knows we don't have church on Saturday. But all the way home, and I told her, I said, that's enough. That's enough. The devil cannot have our children. And she surfaced. And she's crying out for somebody to try to help her. Other than us. She says she's going to numerous churches and they show her the door. She goes to shelters till she can't stay there and they put her in the streets. She's 34 years old and has four children. I think sometimes we're selfish. We really are. So we've come to a place where we couldn't help her anymore. But someone who doesn't know anything about her, she is that easy to win and could take her in. But all the churches in our great metropolis of Lafayette who used to cast out devils, they don't find that that's very kosher anymore. So they send them to rehab stations and shelters. But you know, she's been to three rehabs and they haven't delivered her. Hello? You know, Shama could have had the same opportunities. He could have felt real bad. But all these great warriors that went before him. And here he was assigned to a little bee patch. And I wonder how faithful, how aggressive are we? Just because all we have to take care of is a little bee patch. Certainly, he would never have a doctorate degree taking care of a bee patch. Hello. So we have plenty of room for improvement. And again, a little room for stupidity. When the devil is about to attack you, you better be aggressive. Hello. Shoot with the intent to kill. Thirdly, set your own boundaries. Do you know you can't do that? You can set your own boundaries. How many times did God speak to men in the Old Testament and said, this is your land. Go and possess it. Where you live is your land.
That's right.
It's the portion assigned to you. Draw the bloodline.
Pastor, he gave it to them. But he then told them to annihilate those ice. He said, get them out. He gave it to them and said, you get them.
Absolutely. Thank you. I was part of a church one time, being an ex-Catholic, grew up in a charismatic church, and then God sent me in the ministry with a prophet. There's an elder in that church, and this brother really believed in body ministry. Strong in deliverance. He was a little bit different in Bible college. He taught us a class, and the next class, we taught it. And the next time, we did it. Practical example. See, this is what fathers do. Train their children by practical examples. You have to know how to cast out demons. You have to know how to discern what they are. You have to know how to keep your deliverance. I love it when it's this quiet. Scares me. Now, if I was going to really preach this and really shout about it, and if I could give it to you in a few seconds, here you are with all this anticipation. You've been trained. You're being fed and nurtured in the things of God. You're waiting in ranks in hope that God will call you. Then all of a sudden He addresses your name and you stand up. Now it's your turn. What are you going to do? The church has had more than ample training.
Amen.
And I have had it up to here with sermons and sermons and sermons and sermons and sermons and sermons and sermons. It's time for us to grow and to get in the Spirit. That's where we do the war. And that's where we win. We begin to let God arise in our midst. Folks, every time God showed up in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, the enemies scattered. You couldn't find a devil for the next 100 miles. I believe in the year 2001, we're going to move up to another elevation. We need to be ready. God has given us a new mandate. We have a new president.
Amen.
We have a new purpose. We have a new focus. Ain't God good?
Amen. He's a mighty but terrible
right.
Boy.
Yes.
Right. Ecclesiastes 10:4.
Mm-hmm.
When the spirit of the ruler rises up against you, leave not your place, for in so doing pacifies great offenses.
That's right. Y'all get that? Good word. Stand to your feet. I believe in practicality. I want you to join hands with your neighbor. Pray for the ones on the left and right side of you. Father, we thank you tonight. As we are locked in together with one another here tonight, I thank you for the importation of the spirit of a warrior, that we might excel with such passion as Shama. To some, it's so minutely insignificant. But to you, the general of the great army of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when you give us an assignment, it's important. Father, teach us not only just to have passion, but to keep the intent of winning and to be aggressive, to take the initiative and to defy the armies of darkness. To get off our properties tonight, get off our families, get off of our relatives, our loved ones, our churches, our jobs, our businesses, our finances. He has no legal right. And Father, I destroy every spirit of sabotage that's come against these people tonight. That's tried to destroy their success, to destroy their endeavors. I break that ruling spirit of sabotage over them in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of being faint-hearted. God, that you would cause the spirit of a warrior to rise up inside of every person tonight. And Father, we will be a people who will take what we have learned and begin to apply it daily.
Right.
We'll become the rescue 911s in the Holy Ghost. When we see someone in dilemma, the word of the Lord will rise up within us. And we'll grab them by the hand and give them a helping hand. As we hold on to your hand, and we will apply our hands to the plow and not turn around. Father, I declare before the powers of darkness tonight that every sickness and disease and spirit of infirmity has been broken over these people here tonight. And Lord, I pray your protection over those that are traveling and will travel, that will come to the camp before it's over. Father, I lift up the old generals, Frank Hammond, Frank Marzulla, Brother Jack Harris. Some of them are not here anymore. Tommy Cook, Bill Goodson, Linda Sutters. Father, I just lift up all these men. Brother Glenn, as the priest of this house. Father, we lift our arms up to you tonight. We ask you, Lord, to remove the heaviness and the load and begin to raise up young men and women that are willing to take the sword of the Spirit, the two-edged sword, and begin to do battle. We got born again into the army of God. We were not drafted. We willingly enlisted. Now, Father, we are reporting for duty. And we're thanking you tonight that the peace of God that rules and reigns in every one of our hearts will be the guide and the umpire of everything that we do. And Father, we thank you tonight that you would impart to every soul here tonight the gift of discernment. We need more discernment now than we did years ago to begin to discern good from evil, right from wrong. Even in our system, in our government, in our political situation, words are being changed. People can't understand what it really means. Open our eyes, let us see. Open our ears so we can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And Father, let us have purpose of heart that when we engage in any battle, we will engage with intent to win. We refuse to be defeated. We're the head, not the tail. And all your blessings are upon us. We give you praise. Father, I pray tonight that every person here would have a restful and peaceful night's sleep. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we just loose the Holy Ghost tonight to do whatsoever you want to do in this service. Heal, deliver, and touch these lives tonight, Father. These are your people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need healing for your body tonight, just lift up your hand and receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I bind the spirit of infirmity. In the name of Jesus, you loose these bodies right now. All infection, go now in Jesus' name. All virus, in Jesus' name. All irritations, in Jesus' name, leave. In the name of Jesus. All sinus problems, dry up now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ear infection, go now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody here tonight, you having pain in your right side, but you put your hand in your body right now in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command that pain to loose that person right now in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. You bow to the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Command all that mucus to come out of your body. In Jesus' name. All inflammation, in Jesus' name. You leave. In Jesus' name. This camp is going to be bug-free, sickness-free. In the name of Jesus. Every winter, the devil thinks he can put it on you. He cannot put it on you. It stops here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Runala mama mama sita la mama mama kaya la baka sharala la bakurbia sharia la bakurbia la bakurbia la baka kila baba baba turba yala la baka sharala la baka raba la bala bala yala la baka sharia la bakurbia la baka sharala la baka runala mani yala la baka sharia la baka misi brine la baka la baka hala la bakurbia la baka. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody here tonight you've been suffering with a lot of headaches recently? Anybody here? Am I addressing the person that's here tonight? A lot of headaches. Is that you? Would you come up?
Crystal,
come up here. Hallelujah. I used to live with migraine headaches. You understood what I said?
Yes, sir.
I used to live with them. I don't live with them anymore. I divorced migraine headaches. I told you it was weird. What kind of headache? Just
real bad. I don't know.
Real bad. You same thing with you?
I just got glasses because I was seriously plagued with migraines, but I'm still struggling with some when I don't eat right. It seems
okay.
Something's not still balanced.
Good. I know Papa Glenn always has a fresh bottle of oil. You'll be glad I'm not like some of these preachers.
The oil never runs out.
I know. I had this preacher praying for folks one night that was going to get delivered from cigarettes. And we had an old bottle of olive oil. And that thing was so rancid you could smell it when you opened it. And I'll never forget that little lady said, "Open your mouth wide, honey." And she drank about half. I said, "That had made me sick." I mean, rent. And I thought, God, there can't be much wisdom in what he did. But she got delivered from smoking.
No wonder.
She smoked 4 packs of cigarettes a day. And she had someone minister to her before, and she's getting it free. And that preacher had a word of knowledge. He said, "Now," he kind of looked at it and he said, "I know this won't be good, but you got to drink it." And she drank a half a bottle of that stuff and got delivered.
Right.
Was it the olive oil? No. She was
obedient.
That's right. Amen. Just extend your hands to the Lord. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now the anointing of God's going to touch you, okay? Father, this pain you bore on the cross, on your body, on the tree, you go now in the name of... There it is, honey. Go in Jesus' name. All spirits of migraine and pain, in the name of Jesus, you loose her. Go. In Jesus' name. Body, you line up with the Word. Line up with the Word. Be strong. Father, fill her mind with peace, joy, and righteousness. Lord, I break the tentacles over this thing in the name. I break every mind-binding spirit off of her now. In Jesus' name, command you to loose her now. Every prayer that's been prayed against her soul, I remove every dart right now. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. No words formed against you shall prosper. There's that anointing. Receive it. That feel good? Dr. Jesus is good. Glory to God. I come from voodoo country. You understand what I'm saying? I live in the nest of witchcraft and voodoo practice. You feel weak?
A little bit.
It's okay. You can sit down right here. I'm going to pray one more time for you. My daddy thought he was doing something good and took me to a treater. I had sunstroke, and from that time I had migraine headaches. Well, instead of having one problem, I had a double whammy because he took me to a treater. And I got delivered from pain just like that. And I thought, whoa! Man, if the treater could do it, I'll bring all my buddies over there. The only problem was, 6 months later, I couldn't even stand to be in a room with lights on. Because see, we live in a real world. The demonic is real. And the spiritual realm of God is real. And we're always walking into places and areas. So we've learned a little bit about voodoo, being raised in a voodoo country. And I constantly cast out demons and pins that have been placed either in their minds or in their bodies. I pulled a pin out of a woman's belly. I asked her husband for permission if I could lay my hands on her belly. She couldn't have babies. Stuck a pin in there where it would go into her womb. And this, the way they were praying is that every time the sperm and stuff would begin to travel, where they would get into the womb and get pregnant, the egg would stop from traveling. No curses. And you know, it was a long thing, but make it very short. We began to pray for her. She was barren. She has 8 kids. You see, those things are real. Now, we don't have to be afraid of the devil. We just need to know who we are and who he is in us. And see, when we use discernment and use the wisdom of God, we won't sound spooky spiritual. Amen? Hallelujah.
Quit praying.
Huh?
She,
the last time I saw her in the church service, I said, come here, let me lay a hand. She said, no! I have 8 kids. My quiver's full. I'm sure she told me no. She shouted it out. No! Hallelujah. You stand right here, sweetie. Father, I just anoint stress. Stress and anxiety. In the name of Jesus. Father, I command the stress and anxiety and worry. Right now, you loose my sister. Let her go. I bind you in there it is. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, you loose her now. Pain, leave now. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your anointing to heal. In the name of Jesus. Did you have pain when you came up here?
No. I had it for over 12 hours yesterday and today.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Put your hand on her. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus that her body will function properly according to the way you've designed it, without pain and excess pain, in Jesus' name. Be loosed and be made whole in the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.